See, you guys look really energized today. How many people were up, you know, till midnight at least? I'm really impressed. We did ask the ushers to make the extra strong coffee today, so that's not actually true. But if you need it, there is coffee. I have mixed feelings about New Year's. I kind of like the idea of resolutions, and I kind of don't like it. I was talking to a friend the other day about all these programs of self-improvement. It gets a little tiring sometimes, right? That we're never really good enough. We just got to keep improving. I'm going to be doing a PowerPoint presentation. It's the first time in my short little time here so far. This is my thing to advance the slides, and it doesn't work. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to use this as a prop, and every time I want the slides advanced, I'm going to go like this, and it's going to happen. Okay? I know. So we'll see what happens. I think that's going to work. So sometimes we seem to be pulled in all different directions through New Year's, but despite all this, it does give us an opportunity to reflect and to look forward and think about what the year has been like, how we've grown or maybe how we've not grown, how we've been challenged. And it gives us an opportunity to go forward into the new year with some excitement and enthusiasm and some challenges. And today I'd like to make the most of that opportunity and interact with you today. And you guys are going to be doing most of the thinking today. I'll do most of the talking, you do most of the thinking. So there's going to be questions to interact with, some challenges for us to think through. And we're going to use the book of Ecclesiastes as our motivation. And so, I was just going to get that up there, but it's already up. That's good. This thing is already working well. And we're going to work through three things together. One more. There we go. The questions will be based on Ecclesiastes. What are your priorities? Are you living out your priorities? And what changes would you like to make in your life? Actually, I forgot to advance those too. There we go. Okay. So the wisdom of Ecclesiastes, one of the things that New Year's can do is offer perspective. And some of you might be familiar with this book, the book of Ecclesiastes. It's a book of wisdom. And often people either love Ecclesiastes or they really dislike it. It's kind of like cilantro that way, right? People either love cilantro or they hate cilantro. It's my experience. I don't know if it's true. Anyone indifferent about cilantro?
She hates it.
I know. So I hope you guys love Ecclesiastes. It's an inspiring book. It's full of deep meaning and challenges. And it has the ability to put stuff that we might encounter in life into this deep, eternal perspective. This is the setting, so I've kind of neglected this. I'm trusting you now. The joke's over. Got enough traction out of that. Done. Okay, so there's this old man, the sage, looking back on his life. He's called the teacher. He's a man of wisdom. He's a man of knowledge. And he's thinking about life. He's seen a lot. He's seen a lot of pain and death and joy. And he offers his vast wisdom based on his lifelong journey of seeking wisdom. And he observes some things. One thing is that life passes by quickly. We affirm that, right? Life passes by quickly. He also affirms this: there is not much that really matters when all is said and done. He says this too: in the end, all that really matters is loving God. We are born into the world that the old teacher Ecclesiastes describes. It's still the same world. He observes a world of pain and suffering. He observes a world of cycles that repeat, cycles of harvesting and birth, of life and death. He sees war, he sees famine, he sees pain, he sees love, he sees a continuing cycle. And although things may change in the end, nothing really changes. That's his observation. We still live in the world of Ecclesiastes. It's the same today. The cycles of birth and planting, harvesting and death. The cycles of weeping and laughing, mourning and dancing. The teacher talks, this wise old man, and we see him in this image of him speaking urgently in a way that grabs everyone's attention. He really wants people to get this. He looks back over his life and he says there are three things about life that are vital to know and understand. One, enjoy life. Don't be driven by worthless pursuit and pursue the right things. The teacher says this. He says, don't wait until you're 80 to figure out that you should enjoy life and that life is now. A lot of us have the tendency to live in the future or the past, depending on your stage of life. I'll live life when I've graduated from high school. Some of us might remember saying that. Is there anyone here that's young enough to have gotten up early? No, I don't think so. Okay, all those people are in bed today, those high school age people. I'll live life when I graduate from college. I'll live life when I get a girlfriend. I'll really live life when I get married. I'll live life when I have children. Oh, I'll live life when I get promoted. I'll live life when my children leave home. I'll live life when I retire. Or maybe it's this. I really lived my life when I was in school. I really lived my life when I was an athlete. Oh, those were the days. I could throw a football a full quarter mile. You should have seen it. Yeah. I really lived my life when I was working. I really lived my life when I was single. That's a dangerous one. I really lived my life when I was a child. When I was. The question he wants us to face is, when will you live your life? Also, how will I live my life? How will I make my decisions? How will I decide what is a priority in my life? And he concludes that this thing to realize at the end of it all in Ecclesiastes is this. This is chapter 12, verse 13. That's the whole story. Here now is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey his commands, for this is everyone's duty. God will judge us for everything we do, including every secret thing, whether good or bad. It's rather sobering. There's two things out of that. God is eternal, and we are temporary. And the thing to realize about this in Ecclesiastes is this is a statement of posture, our posture and approach in life. This is how we should approach life, is with that realization. And the old sage, this wise old man in Ecclesiastes, really wants us to get this because it's a realization that will affect how we live our life. And he thinks that if we live our life with this posture, that God is eternal and that we are temporary, it will put our life in better balance. And we can live with wisdom. So here's where you have to start doing work. We're going to start with a confession of that posture. And let us declare together that we understand who the God is that loves us and creates us. Let's read this all together. Lord of the ages, you are our beginning and our end. Everlasting God, we place our days within your care. We trust you and praise you for your faithfulness in the past and for your constant care. We put ourselves into your keeping to guard and guide us this day and every day, and we offer our lives for your service through Jesus Christ, your eternal Son, our Savior. So I have some questions for you to reflect on based on the wisdom of Ecclesiastes. They may be a little painful. They may not be. I don't know how perfect you are. If you're not perfect, they might be painful. But they are good questions. And let's take a moment or two for each question. So the first question is around foolishness. Ecclesiastes 12:1 says this in this very vivid image. As dead flies give perfume a bad smell, so a little folly outweighs wisdom and humor. Honor. Yes, honor. So the question is this: how have you and do you continue to be foolish? Let's take a minute to reflect on that. The next reflection point is around self-control. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says this: do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. Where do you lack self-control in your life? Let's reflect on that. The quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools. Words from a wise man's mouth are gracious, but a fool is consumed by his own lips. What is the character of the words that come out of your mouth? like to invite you together to submit to the work of the Holy Spirit in making us more like Jesus by reading this together. The congregational reading is in bold, and I'll read the first part. This is the place, and this is the time, here and now. God waits to break into our experience. To make us see the world and the whole of life in a new light. This is the place, as are all places. This is the time, as are all times. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. I wonder how many of us feel that we are doing that and that this is actually our perspective on life. Let's continue in these exercises, and I have some questions for you that will help you think on that. And I invite you to please try to enter into this deeply. Number one, what are your priorities in life? Related to that question, are you living out your priorities? What changes would you like to make in how you live out your life? Let us confess together that we are in need of grace and mercy from God. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are. And direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. I know that these are difficult exercises, and we're probably all tired, and this isn't all that entertaining. It's painful, but important. And I would recommend to you that if you've never read Ecclesiastes, or even if you have, you get yourself a cup of coffee, a big cup of coffee, and read the whole book through in one sitting. It's a very different perspective when you read it that way. You'll get a different perspective on the book. And as you read through this whole thing, it will give you a perspective on life. Reading through Ecclesiastes has often been described as similar to going to a funeral. Nobody wants to, but many can be inspiring and moments of clarity where we evaluate our life and are challenged to make changes. I've experienced that. I'm sure most of you have experienced that. And one of the key challenges in Ecclesiastes is perspective. It challenges us to put our lives into eternal perspective. Let's put our goals and challenges in eternal perspective. The congregational reading is in bold, so I'm doing most of the work on this one. You guys just have short things here. In the beginning, before time, before people, before the world began, here and now among us, beside us, enlisting the people of earth for the purpose of heaven. In the future, when we have turned to dust and all we know has found fulfillment. Not denying the world, but delighting in it. Not condemning the world, but redeeming it through Christ Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to be encouraged, optimistic, and hopeful. I don't want you to be discouraged because God can finish the work in your life that He began. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 4 to 6, it says this: "In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Let's declare together our intent to be a people who belong to God and declare his goodness. And the congregation is in bold. Among the poor, among the proud, among the persecuted, among the privileged, Christ is coming to make all things new. In the private house, in the public place, in the wedding feast, in the judgment hall. With a gentle touch, with an angry word, with a clear conscience, with burning love. That the kingdom might come, that the world might believe, that the powerful might stumble, that the hidden might be seen. Within us, without us, behind us, before us, in this place, in every place, for this time, for all time. Don't be overwhelmed. Be encouraged. It's never too late. It is never too late. Many of you have probably heard this statement, but I hope it's not too cliche. Maybe I've only heard it a number of times. I don't know. The best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. The next best time is today. That's what Ecclesiastes is all about. So today we are going to enter into communion together, and I'd like to invite the servers up.